Welcome to Sutcliffe Baptist Church here in Olney for our Easter Sunday morning service of celebration. I am Ralph Terry, one of the deacons of the church, and am pleased that you have come to join us, whether you are a regular or a visitor just surfing by. We come together in spirit, although not physically as we would have wished we could, to worship. To worship God in praise and celebration of our Lord's amazing victory over death. Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. I would invite you all to affirm that truth as you repeat the phrase after me. Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Our first song today is the well-known traditional Easter hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Praise God for the victory of Jesus over death. But his death was no ordinary death. It was the means of our forgiveness. I now invite you to reflect on how Jesus became our Saviour as we sing Man of Sorrows.
Thank you. Good morning. As we come to pray this Easter morning, we put our hope in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who died on the cross, the purpose for which he came, and then rose again and returned to the Father. I'm going to start our prayers with a time of confession. So let's bring to mind those things that are on our conscience, the things we've done that we should not have done, and the things we've not done that we should have done. And so we take this opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to bring those things to the foot of the cross, to the place where Jesus died. Let's pray together now. Father God, we recall the words the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Father God, we thank you so much that Jesus died on Good Friday, so that those sins which we know to be on our conscience can be forgiven, and so we can bring them to the cross now. Thank you so much that he paid the price in his life for that forgiveness and to cleanse us from all our sin. Thank you, Father, that through the cross we can relate to you because of Jesus, not ourselves. So we hear the words of assurance written in 1 John 1. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So, Father, we thank you and pray for our families, our friends, and those around us, and those we love. Please help us to know that we can trust in you for peace and comfort when we might be going through difficult times and are feeling fraught or anxious. We pray for all those in our fellowship here at Only Baptist Church, particularly those who might be struggling, are unwell, or finding it difficult to cope with the present situation. We pray for those who are bereaved and ask that they might know your presence, love and comfort at this time. We continue to pray for those we know that have health concerns or are undergoing tests and or waiting for results. Sustain them with the knowledge of your love and presence. And we bring to you those in our town and locally who need your touch and safekeeping in these times. For health workers, our doctors, our teachers, the NHS and the hospitals. Father, we pray for our world where there is unrest, war and famine, often caused by sin and greed. We pray for charities that bring hope to those who struggle or are persecuted for their faith, bringing help and relief to the suffering from famine, poor education or poor health resources. Father, we would hold up to you our Queen, the royal family, the government and all those in authority, asking that fair, just and godly decisions are made. We continue to pray for all those who have the responsibility of rolling out the vaccines and that problems that occur would be quickly resolved. Father, we end our prayers with thanks for all you have done and all you are doing in our lives. Easter signifies new life, and in Jesus we have new life as we all allow the Holy Spirit to change us and fill us anew because of the resurrection. Increase our faith, I pray, so that we can put our trust in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who died and rose that we might also find new life in him. We give him the glory, honour and praise. Amen. When the disciples asked, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." Join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our next song is a relatively new one. It comes from the Hillsong Church, based in Australia. It tells of God's plan of redemption and restoration through Jesus. The song is called King of Kings, a title used for the victorious Jesus.
Our scripture reading this morning is brought to us by Hilary, and after which the message will be brought to us by Sid Bond.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke, chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Amen.
Thank you, Hilary, for reading to us this morning, and good morning, everybody, and another welcome to this Easter service here at Sutcliffe Baptist Church. If you've got your Bibles handy, please turn to Luke chapter 24, as I'll be referring to that. So here we are on this Easter Sunday morning, 2021. And as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, of course it is celebrated right across the world with the same message, and it's the same message that it's preached every Easter, the rising of Jesus from the dead. And of course it will continue to be preached every Easter until Jesus comes again. In this chapter 24, there are three groups of people, and we will examine how they react to the resurrection. The first group are the women as they make their way to the tomb very early on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week. They're probably wondering how they're going to move the stone covering the entrance to the tomb. On arriving at the tomb, they are surprised to find the stone has been rolled to one side. The tomb is open. They are even more surprised when they enter
and there is no dead body. The women are bewildered. They're at a loss to know what has happened to the body of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, two angels appear and stand beside them. The women take fright, which is very understandable. And the angels speak to them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember when he was with you in Galilee, he told you he must be crucified and on the third day be raised again. Then the women remembered what Jesus had said to them. The women return to the house in Jerusalem where the disciples are and tell the others what they had seen. But they are not believed, and the account seemed like nonsense to the others. We also learn that Peter ran to the tomb and all he finds is strips of linen. Then we have the two who were walking to Emmaus. You remember them. The story is so well known. As they walked along, we are told that Jesus joined them on their walk, but they don't recognize him. And it is only in the evening, when they are having a meal together, and Jesus takes the bread and gives thanks, do they recognize him. It is the same in the world today. People react in different ways to the resurrection. Some, like the women, don't know what to believe. They are at a loss, or bewildered, or have forgotten what they were taught about Jesus when they were younger, what they learnt at Sunday school, or at church, or at home. They have moved on in their lives, too busy now for religious stuff. Some are like the disciples back at the house. They didn't believe the women. They thought it was nonsense. I would agree, from a human point of view, somebody rising from the dead is hard to believe. But we are in the realms of the supernatural here. This is God's work. This is God's territory. And Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God. And yet there are still those who refuse to believe. And there are some who, like the two walking to Emmaus, they don't recognize Jesus for who he is. They said he was a prophet in verse 19. But Jesus is much more than that. He is God's son. And God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And then there are those commentators who, over the years, who say the resurrection didn't happen. They say because Jesus wasn't properly dead and he came back to life in the coolness of the tomb. Now, it was Roman soldiers at the crucifixion who pronounced people dead. And I don't believe for one moment they will have made a mistake. It was something that they were very good at, killing people, crucifying them, and then making sure that they were properly dead. And then others say the disciples stole the body of Jesus. But that doesn't make a lot of sense either. And others who say the Jewish authorities took the body from the tomb. Now, I'm sure that you will agree that if the Jewish authorities did take the body from the tomb, that they would have produced the body at a later date so all could see. The plain truth is, Jesus was raised from the dead and appears to the disciples in the house in Jerusalem. We read that in verse 36 onwards. Those in the house are startled and frightened, thinking that it is a ghost. But Jesus speaks to them. Why are you troubled? And why do you have doubts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Jesus also reminds them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms. And then Jesus leads them in a Bible study. We read that in verse 45. He does that so that they can understand the scriptures about him. In verse 46, we are reminded of what the gospel is. For Jesus says, it is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And in verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sins is required in response to the gospel. We also learn that this gospel will be preached to all the nations. I said earlier on that the Easter message will be preached across the world today, but also the unstoppable gospel is preached across the world right through the year. It needs to be said, though, that nobody witnessed the resurrection. How then can we be confident in proclaiming that Jesus is alive? What evidence do we have for that when we testify to people that we believe in a risen Jesus? Well, firstly, we have an empty tomb. And secondly, we have the disciples who were transformed. After the crucifixion, the disciples were fearful, they were grieving, and they were demoralized. But within a couple of weeks, their fear had turned to faith, their grieving to joy, and they were preaching a risen and living Lord Jesus. And thirdly, the Apostle Paul. You will remember that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. His life was transformed. Saul was the persecutor of Christians, and he was so good at it. But he met Jesus on the road, and Saul became Paul, God's servant. And not only did he meet Jesus on the road to Damascus, but Jesus also spoke to him as well. And fourthly, millions and millions have turned to Jesus for salvation since the death of Jesus. They have been brought into the kingdom of God as they trusted the living Lord Jesus. And then fifthly, last Sunday on BBC Songs of Praise, a testimony from a lady in Nottingham whose life was transformed when in a hospital room with her dying husband, both of them had an encounter with the living Jesus. I would encourage you to watch it. Jesus is alive today, and he sits at God's right hand. Have you trusted him yet? Because he is the only one who can bring you into God's presence. And if you trust him, you will also be resurrected when Jesus comes again. So we come to our communion service now, and the communion song is "Here Is Love." Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, and he died on the cross for us. And Father, we do thank you that we can come this morning and remember Jesus and his rising from the grave. And Father, we remember that by your grace we are saved, and that you have called each one of us to be your servants. Father, we do ask that you would help us to draw near to you as we think about Jesus dying on the cross for us, and that he was our sacrifice for sin. Amen. And so Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself.'"
We come to this table, Father, with thanks in our heart. Thanks for your Son, Jesus, given to us. We come to this table, Jesus, with thanks in our heart. We thank you for your obedience, for your great gift to us of redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We come to you now and thank you for the elements that are before us. Those elements symbolizing your death on the cross. We thank you for the bread, symbolizing your broken body, and for the wine, symbolizing your spilt blood. We are grateful. We thank you. Amen.
And so Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please all eat together. Then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink and give thanks for all that Jesus achieved for us on the cross. Father, we have such a great salvation. We have such a great Saviour. And Father, we know that we can never be separated from your love. So we praise you, Father, for all that you have achieved for us in Jesus. For forgiveness, for peace, for joy, for hope, for a future with you in eternity. Father, we thank you for these things, and we do ask that you would continue to help us, that you would continue to show us the way forward by the power of the Spirit. We do ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we come to our closing prayer, just a couple of things for you to note. First of all, I would like to thank all the musicians and singers and technicians who have made this possible this morning. Thank you to you all. Also, after the closing prayer, there will be a song called God Raised Him Up. That's a video. Thank you for that. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.